Hi, this is Karen Schomer, formerly of The Schomer Show. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe in Hudson with your WGXC Daily Headlines. A suicide bomber killed 27 and wounded 147 at a mosque in northwest Pakistan. Motown songwriter and performer Barrett Strong and guitarist-songwriter Tom Verlaine, who led the band Television, both passed away over the weekend. New York students were, quote, deliberately, inappropriately, unquote, restrained 214 times in recent years, New York State says. Although they're supposed to be just, quote, emergency interventions, unquote, some schools for students with disabilities use restraints and timeout rooms hundreds of times per month on students. Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan gives the State of the City speech at 6 p.m. Monday, January 30th at the website albanyny.gov. A Siena College Research Institute poll finds that more than 70% of New Yorkers favor expansion of bottle recycling and an increase in the deposit to 10 cents. Bobby Seale, who co-founded the Black Panther Party, speaks at the Hudson Valley Community College on February 9th during the Black History Month series there. Greene County lawmakers hold a public hearing February 6th on a proposed law to allow property tax exemptions for volunteer firefighters and ambulance workers. They hope to attract and retain firefighters and emergency medical personnel with the policy. And the Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs play in the Super Bowl on February 12th after both teams won their league championship games on January 29th.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Monday, January 30th. Go to the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information about any of these stories. There were protests around the United States and locally in Troy and Hudson after police in Memphis released videos on January 27th showing at least five police officers savagely beating Tyree Nichols, who eventually died from the attack. Marquetta Edwards, one of the organizers of the Troy protest on January 28th, was recorded speaking by the Times Union's H. Rose Schneider, saying,
"We cannot continue this. We got to start working in silos. The people that are here today have to work together. We are all from different communities, all from different backgrounds, all from different organizations, but guess what? We're here. Because this matters. Our lives matter. Black lives matter. And we will not stand down out here today."
In Hudson, over 60 people turned out to the park in front of the Columbia County Courthouse on January 29th to protest the latest police killing caught on a video recording. Several local youths spoke at the event, including a 17-year-old named Gabby.
"This behavior is institutionalized within our police system, and when behavior is institutionalized, it can't be fixed until it's broken down and built back up again, and we can't do that without the support of more people."
A few local officials were there, including State Senator Michelle Hinchey, Assemblymember Dede Barrett, and Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson. Claire Cousins, a member of the County Board of Supervisors from Hudson, urged the other politicians who were not there to come out next time.
"My call to action for those folks is your colleagues need to join you in these moments. I love you. Deeply, where are your colleagues that had the same morals as you? Why are they not outraged enough to join you here? That is the wall of distrust that exists that we want to break down. It's not you, it's all of you. It's everybody that has taken that oath. We want to see you. We deserve to see you angry if you care about us the way that you say you do."
Tyler O'Neill is reporting for Spectrum News that Democrat U.S. Representative Pat Ryan was appointed January 27th to the House Committee on Armed Services and the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, his office said. Ryan represents the redrawn 18th Congressional District. The Armed Services Committee handles defense policy, military operations, and the organization and reform of the Department of Defense and Department of Energy. Ryan served on this committee during his previous term. Quote, I maintain my commitment to ensuring our service members and military families are properly supported to preserve and promote America's security, prosperity, and values both at home and abroad, unquote, he said. Ryan served in the U.S. Army as a combat intelligence officer from 2004 to 2009, including two tours in Iraq. The congressperson will also serve on the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, which oversees all modes of transportation nationwide. Quote, whether you take Metro North to New York City, travel Route 17 through Orange County, or need improved broadband in Dutchess County, I will fight every day to make sure that funding comes right back here to the Hudson Valley, unquote, Ryan said in a statement. Read more about this story at spectrumlocalnews.com. Jamel Cutler is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Hudson City Hall is set to undergo needed renovations, according to a resolution recently adopted by the Common Council. The resolution authorized the mayor to enter into a contract with VMJR Companies of Glens Falls to complete the alterations required to bring the historic former bank building into compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. The cost of the project is $669,500, and the resolution authorizes expenditure of $337,933 from the general fund. Construction is expected to begin in February, and the work will be completed in 3 or 4 months. Changes to the building's facade include removing the marble steps that lead to the side door of the building and dropping the door to sidewalk level. The existing door will continue to be used, and the marble plinths and pilasters on either side of the door will remain unchanged. Quote, the improvements will make access to the second floor a lot easier for folks, unquote, said Mayor Kamal Johnson. Quote, I'm happy that we're finally getting to this point as a city, unquote. The renovations will make the building more accessible, and the general environment is going to be more inviting for everyone, he said. VMJR has completed similar projects at locations throughout upstate New York, at the University at Albany, Siena College, and the State Education Building in Middleburg Central School. In Hudson, the company successfully completed the St. Paul's St. Mary's Church historical restoration. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Monday, January 30th. We are 6.5% of the way through the year. We have 49 days left until spring. That time of year, I start talking about the river, the tides, the warm breezes, and healthy fun, and I want you to hold on to that thought as you go around the house today with the gap filler and caulking gun getting ready for the serious temperature drop on Friday night. Speaking of temperatures, local early morning temperatures range from 28 degrees in Dover Plains to 36 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 34 degrees. Today will be mostly cloudy with a high of 42 happening at 3 p.m. Conditions will be cold. Layer up. Make sure it's waterproof. Rain chances show up around 2 p.m. and continue overnight, turning to snow, leaving a dusting and ending by dawn when we see a low temperature of 26. Tomorrow, freezing with some wind gusts and a high of 32 at 3 p.m. Overnight, the dip deepens, hitting 19 degrees. Wednesday, we hit 32 again, but it gets a little sunnier. Thursday, we get a fake out as high temperatures are expected to hit 39. And I generally don't like looking this far into the future, but Friday night temperatures will be in the pipe-bursting and battery-killing range, you have been warned. Sunset today will be at 4:52 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:06 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are relatively quiet, flare chances are down, but coming in at 6 kilometers across, Comet 96P is hurtling towards the sun, due to make its closest approach next week. Its alien composition has piqued astronomers' interests, and the SOHO satellite will be conducting extra research as it passes. Solar wind speed is currently 407 kilometers per second at 7.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently Fair below 8 megahertz till dark, with fair conditions below 60 megahertz overnight, and possibly good conditions below 8 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 80, and this is Mend the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
We'll be right back. Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We now have the blueprint, America, and we won't accept less going forward in the future.
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump says any officer engaged in police brutality should be met with fair justice. Five black police officers were fired and charged with murder right after the death of 29-year-old Tyree Nichols of Memphis. Crump cited the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act, which passed the House in 2021 and would ban chokeholds and racial profiling. But the new Republican chair of House Judiciary says no legislation would prevent police violence.
Why wouldn't we sit down now, set a path to get us to a balanced budget, and let's start paying this debt off and make sure the future generation has as many opportunities as we do?
Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he and President Joe Biden could reach a deal on deep budget cuts when they meet this week on the debt ceiling. McCarthy did concede that cuts to Social Security and Medicare are off the table despite pressure from his right. The U.S. hit its debt limit earlier this month. Treasury officials say they can prevent default until summer. Observers say 2023 will be a crucial year for voting rights.
Those on the other side are trying to discourage people from participating. That's what this really is about. We have to fight back to protect our democracy, to protect everything.
Maine Secretary of State Shayna Bellows says it'll take strong leaders to ward off systematic voter suppression. Nearly 100 bills to restrict voter access have been introduced in state houses nationwide. More than 245 bills would expand voter access or otherwise deal with election administration. A Democratic National Committee panel says it will finalize its presidential primary calendar in June. Officials in Georgia and New Hampshire say they want the extra time to adjust if South Carolina goes first. But some lawmakers, like New Hampshire Democratic Senator Gene Shaheen, are pushing back.
Now, we have a state law that says we're going to go first, so we're going to go first.
Shaheen says she'll continue to invite presidential hopefuls to her state despite a plan to penalize candidates if they ignore the new schedule. Under a DNC plan backed by President Biden, Nevada and New Hampshire would follow South Carolina. Georgia would be third, followed by Michigan. Activists on both sides are focused on Wisconsin, where a state Supreme Court seat could determine the fate of abortion rights in the swing state. Voters will head to the polls next month to choose which of four candidates, two liberal and two conservative, will move on to the general election in April. Political analysts say the GOP handed Democrats a winning issue by proposing to replace the income tax with a nationwide 30% sales tax. That would land harder on working families, but be a big break for the wealthy. Kevin McCarthy says he opposes the bill, but promised a vote to win the speaker's chair. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're giving you an update from Arizona, which, 3 years after the 2020 election, still has candidates and legislators pushing disruptive election fraud conspiracy theories. First to the 2022 race for Arizona governor, where last week the Arizona Supreme Court threw out the second high court appeal request from Trump-backed candidate Kari Lake. Lake claims voter fraud and election official misconduct in Maricopa County. She named her opponent, Katie Hobbs, former Secretary of State, as a defendant. While there were ballot printing problems, there was no evidence of fraud. The case remains in the state appellate court. That leads to our next story. The Arizona House Election Law Committee endorsed a bill to force the Arizona Secretary of State to recuse themselves from any oversight or certification of their own election. Courthouse News reports that according to the League of Women Voters Arizona, in all U.S. state elections since 2002, there were only three examples where secretaries of state recused themselves in any matter. The same committee also passed a bill codifying the use of the Electoral College for presidential elections. 11 Arizonans, including a sitting state representative, participated in the 2020 fake elector scheme. The full Arizona House will consider both bills in the coming weeks. We have links to articles and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Find out where the music takes Lego Belt on the next Deep Threes when he remixes music made on a rainy weekend. Cinema Purdue visits a busy train station. And Mark Peters relaunches a project on a larger scale. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
On Saturday, February 4th, turn out or tune in for live performances from local singer-songwriters Lex Gray and Ryder Cooley. Both Lex Gray and Ryder Cooley perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Saturday, February 4th, and WGXC will also have a live web stream and a broadcast of the performances from two local band leaders, Lex Gray from the Urban Pioneers and Ryder Cooley from the Dust Bowl Fairies. Both perform Saturday, February 4th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Turn out or tune in to hear the performances on 90.7 FM at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Organizers in Hudson on January 29th put together a Justice for Tyree Nichols rally in front of the Columbia County Courthouse on the green there. And many officials and residents of the community spoke about police violence.
Y'all say, this is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
We want to appreciate you all for just coming here today and standing in solidarity for Tyree Nichols and his family. They lost a loved one. A father was taken away from his daughter. A son was taken away from his parents, and a husband was taken away from his wife. We are here today to stand in solidarity. The first speaker that I'm going to call to the stand is Claire Cousin. She is a Columbia County supervisor, as well as she's the executive director of the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition. Everyone give a round of applause.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're happy to see as many folks show up as we did. We wish there were more. In the releasing of the video, we knew that we needed to create a space for people to come together and process the disgusting acts at the hands of police. We're tired. We're tired of brutality. We're tired of people having things that matter most to our community is the way that we protect our community. We may not have instances of brutality in the recent past in the city of Hudson, and that's a lot of the reason why our community doesn't show up to protests like this, because they don't see the value in the conversations. But we can prevent it from happening. We have people from the community that hold seats of power, that are trusted by our community, and are experts on what our community needs. We need people to support us in the decisions that we say are what our community needs, and the decisions that we know we are able to make and have the authority to make at the hands of the power that we were elected to sit in. That is the answer to ending this type of violence in our communities. Hudson is a small place, and we can be the example. We have every opportunity to be the example. I am not afraid to say we need to take money from the police and give it back to our community. And next, we're going to hear from our youth, because they are the experts on what needs to come next.
My name is Darius Carr, and today I will be reading a poem called G-H-E-T-T-O by Jasmine Wise. Get out there and make something of yourself. How can we do that when we don't have common wealth? Erase the past, start over, that's what I felt. Together we grasp the opportunity of what's on tomorrow's shelf. Tomorrow ain't promised, so how today go? Outside searching, still no gold under the rainbow. G-H-E-T-T-O, that's the ghetto. We come from gang bangers, drug slangers, dope artists, and some of the smartest. We come from kings and queens, everything in between. Skin as dark as night or as bright as light. It doesn't matter that we fight, we still don't have any rights. We live to fight, not you, but ourselves. We are crabs in a barrel, fighting to the top shelf. When asked, yes, they come from it. They are not the same because of it. Thought about blowing their brains, F it. Thought about snatching some chains, F it. Thought about running this game and luck it. But knowledge is power. Reading is fundamental. They can take everything away from you, but they can't take your mental. The day you give that up for a penny is the day you'll have plenty less. We're trying to have businesses and cribs to rent. We're trying to travel and book main events. But I'll be damned if they take my mind. I'll be from the ghetto and still find a place to shine.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Next up, we have Brian McCormick from the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming out today. Thank you for hosting this event, HCHC, to acknowledge the loss of life, not just another name or number. That's related to the systems that we continue to live under and the militarization, not just of our cities and our local police departments, but the entire country. At CCSM, an immigrant rights organization, we know that mass detention and mass deportation would not exist without the carceral state that has been locking our brothers and sisters up for far too many years. We know that the budget that Claire referenced is the same thing on the federal level, regardless of the presidency. The Pentagon, Department of Homeland Security, they got more than what they asked for. That means more Border Patrol agents on the border killing youth there. It means more youth and people of color in detention centers. It means more agents on horseback whipping Haitians coming to our country. This is what our tax dollars go to, and they are interconnected, and so too, therefore, is our struggle. So we stand here, but we can't just be reactionary. We know that we also must be on the offensive. What are things that we can do to change the laws to make sure that things like this don't happen further? So when you get a call to come to a protest like this, you need to answer the same call and amplify it when we go to the halls of power. When HCHC calls to have y'all come to City Hall for the BREATHE Act, when we call for y'all to come to the Capitol to end collaboration between police and ICE, we need y'all to show up. So I'm happy to be here with y'all today. Happy to talk about the intersectionality of our issues in our communities, and I can tell you that CCSM will remain to be an ally in the struggle. Thank you.
No justice!
No peace!
Next up, we're gonna call Kamal Johnson. He is the mayor of this great city.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I just got done watching the video of the murder of Tyre Nichols, and I couldn't even make it through the whole thing. I got about 5 minutes in, and no matter how much and how many times this happens, it's always the same dreadful feeling. And it just seems like we could recycle the signs from the last protest and last one before that, and nothing ever seems to change. We really need our legislators, our elected officials, to pass the George Floyd Policing Act, and we need to do that right away. I remember 3 years ago now when I jumped out there and said we need police reform, and we started taking that on long before former Governor Cuomo basically asked the entire state to do that. We were way ahead of the bunch. We put together a team that lined out a lot of outcomes. We've been training our police. When the fad was over, we still here in Hudson kept moving, and we still kept progressing and moving to make our police force better and to find new solutions to the issues that we have in Hudson that don't always involve the police. We look at the budget, and it definitely needs to change. I agree with that. And I'm here to be a part of solutions, and I want to do that moving forward. So, you know, as we sit here and we mourn another murder, another death, now let's look for a plan and let's bring all our elected officials together to get that plan done. Thank you.
Next, we're going to call over Jasmine.
I'd be in my own little world and stuff, so I didn't even really know what was going on. So this poem kind of reflects that. I'd be in my own shell, out of touch with society. I didn't even know what was really going on. I seen his name everywhere, I knew something was wrong. It's sad as fuck and no one gave a fuck, and who's the fuck to blame? This isn't the typical white cop, black person thing. So what do we do now? Who do we trust? Who will save us? When my neighbor became a cop, I thought he saved us. But he changed me, because now I feel I need a gun. These people beating us to death, they're not even using one. But if it's five of them and one of me, I don't have a chance. If I let a couple shots off, I bet they're back off then. I feel I hate pigs. You use your authority to abuse. I used to want to be a cop, thinking it'd be cool. I can change the system, I thought, so I went to school. But if it's me and it's against a million, I'd just be a fool and a victim too. Good-hearted people need to be running this country, not people who have hate running through their veins, evil spirits, and dark souls. Forget what you've been told. Now we have to protect our families, and we are prepared to go to war. The police is the biggest gang in America. What are we paying them for? When are we going to fight back, take our communities back, and start policing ourselves? We don't need them. Defund the police. They don't even help. Thank you.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Next up, we have Jobin.
Salam, peace and blessings, everyone. I want to thank HCHC for organizing this, gathering us for us to be together as a community to honor and grieve and pray for Tahir. I turned 29 a few months ago, and it has been very scary for me to embrace the ending of my 20s, and I haven't had the healthiest coping mechanisms and the best sleep schedule, and realizing that those things are actually very important. But I also realized that Tahir was also 29 years old. And I'm sure, like me, he was worrying about the cost of eggs, how to spend time with his family without going broke. I'm sure he was thinking about traveling, healing, eating healthier, trying to, you know, have new foods. I'm sure he was planning to make his son's 5th birthday special, planning to teach him how to skateboard, to watch another sunset because he loves sunsets. I'm sure he was thinking about, you know, buying his mother flowers for Mother's Day, traveling with his family, exploring, you know, doing things that you expect to do when you're 29. But unlike me and you and all of us standing here, Tahir will not be doing those things. He's not going to be doing anything that he planned to, because that opportunity was taken away from him. I wanted to take a moment for us to close your eyes, for all of us to close our eyes and join together and think about all the moments and experiences that brings joy to us, that brings happiness to us, and think about all the things that Tahir was supposed to experience this year and the many years coming forward with his family, with his son. And I want to take a moment to pray, and I want you all to think about the life, the entity, the spirituality, the entire human that was lost in the process. and not just another name, not just another person to be used as an example, not just another promise to change things. Like, think about his everyday life, him waking up, you know, seeing his son, seeing his mother, you know, him thinking about, you know, his son graduating from kindergarten and how big that is for a child and how he won't be there to experience it. I would like to make a prayer while you all close your eyes and think of him. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Thank you, everyone. I hope that you go throughout the day, the week, the month, this entire year, thinking about how Tahir's family will be grieving, how his son will be grieving, how his family will be grieving, and how painful it will be for them to realize that he's not there, that his life was taken away in such a brutal, such a hurtful, such a painful way. Thank you, everyone.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
I would like everybody to just put their hand in the sky. And I would like for you to squeeze all your fingers together tightly into a fist. And I just want you to feel that power that you're feeling right now as you are squeezing your fist. That right here is the power of the people. And the power of the people, because we are energetic beings, we have the ability to connect with one another. Now, what we need to do is continue to just remain in solidarity with those in Memphis and send our energy down to them. They are mourning a loved one, and we are fighting for justice across the country as we continue to lose brothers, sisters, and children to police brutality. Our hearts go out to his family and loved ones. I am devastated that a black father was taken from his family. To see individuals employed to protect, beat a man to death is heartbreaking and appalling. They profiled him, then beat him. This wasn't an arrest. This video shows these officers committing an atrocity. We continuously ask for an alternative, yet the system of policing hasn't changed. President Lincoln said, "No one is above the law." When it comes to the murders of black people by police, we are met with the same weight Martin Luther King referred to so long ago. The weight that almost always meant never. He went on to say, "Justice delayed is justice denied." This incident is a visualization of the continuous assault on the black community that is structured not only into the police culture, it's embedded in our national laws and documents. Pretextual stops are just one example of racist practices engraved in policing that continues to lead to unjust attacks on our community. This right here, this is the embodiment of democracy. The protests, along with social media, has shined a light on the harsh and violent treatment the black community faces from the entire system. It is the community, whether we are calling on our legislators by phone, coming outside, or writing letters, or just making a social media post. People are outraged. They have been outraged. The voices of the community have been repeating themselves every time these situations occur. The least our government can do is end qualified immunity. The least our government can do is make these police officers mandated reporters. 50A, Article 50A was the start. However, as we are trying to still request documents from these agencies. Everything is still blacked out. Is that transparency? No. If you're redacting who submitted the complaint, whether or not it was a person from the community or another officer, if you're redacting the whole complaint itself, if you're redacting dates, times, these specific things that individuals can actually get details, you are not being transparent with the community as to the people who are being paid by the government to serve them. We watched, I'm sorry if you see tears falling, we watched as these officers committed a gang assault. There were more than five officers in that video, but we only seen five faces. We see as people continue to call on diversity of the police department as a solution. Did it help in this situation? Because they were black? No. He was still profiled. It was not an arrest. That was a gang assault. We need justice. We need accountability. We need for our leaders to listen to the voices of the community and the silent majority who may not come outside but still share the social media posts, who are still going through the harm. Trauma is something that can be passed on generationally. You can pass it on through your genetics. The black community is already suffering from the trauma of slavery, of the new Jim Crow, of mass incarceration, and now in this era in 2023, we are still segregated from perpetual punishment of having a criminal background. We are still allowed to be murdered by police on the streets. They are not required to knock before entering your home when they have a warrant. These vital things to protect the rights of all people is necessary. And like Abraham Lincoln said, I would really like to see a country where no one is above the law. But as long as the law continues to allow those enforcing the law to be lawless, we will not see the America that we want. We thank you all for coming, for joining, for standing in solidarity for what happened to Tyre Nichols. And we can continue to go down the line of names. We need more than just showing up. We need folks to continue to call, to continue to write letters, to not only come by yourself, but bring someone else new to every protest that you show up to, every rally that you show up to, and understand that the folks that represent you inside these halls, they represent you. You don't represent them. Now, we have some important dates. On February 15th, we are having a town hall on to end no-knock warrants in the city of Hudson, just the beginning. It'll be at our office on 47 Fifth Street. If you would like to join us, please make sure that you contact me, my coworker Elliot, who has his file up. And we also have a few more of our colleagues in the audience. We have Claire Cousins, and we have one of our members, Quentin Cross. This is a movement, not a moment. This is something that will continue to go until it's done. Thank you all. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to share their thoughts, their opinions, what they're feeling at the moment? Pastor Kim?
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm a little gimpy today, but that's all right. it was important for me to be here. I wanted to bring some other people with me, but they weren't sure about what they would be coming to experience. I can go back and give a report. Let's give a hand to the ACHA and to Mr. Lukey Forbes, who spoke so eloquently and so powerfully and gave us direction. We've been at this a long time. I remember Eleanor Bumpers. I remember Amadou Diallo. I was alive and I was there in New York City when we were having these kinds of meetings and conversations, and I was in middle school. Come on here, somebody. The forces that we are fighting are not only physical, they are also unseen. And while we have to engage the systems that are around, we know that we also have to engage the systems that continually seek to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about looking up to God and saying, God, help us out of this mess because we can't do it by ourselves. God won't do it without us, and we can't do it without God. I'm praying for you. I'll be here for you. I'll continue to try and get others to come. I see there are some who have come because I called and asked where you're coming. God bless you. We're praying with you. We're standing with you. And we're so glad to see you. And the next generation is standing up in the mic in the fight. God bless you all.
Do any of the young people in the crowd have anything they would like to add? Young people in the crowd? Is that a Gabby I see over there?
No, go ahead.
Raise your hand.
To be honest, my feelings on this situation, they're just like, I don't know, it's been weird. Like, as I was home and I seen that video of his last moments here and how cruelly he was treated by his own people, it really just goes to show that this behavior doesn't all, like, it's not all stemming from just a race thing, because now it's our own people going against our own people. This race, this behavior is institutionalized within our police system, and when behavior is institutionalized, it can't be fixed until it's broken down and built back up again, and we can't do that without the support of more people. So like Pastor was saying, and like how everybody has been saying, please continue to bring more people with you here. Please continue to speak. Please continue to bring young people here, because young voices say a lot. They stand out a lot. As you see, I just got pulled up from the crowd. They mean a lot. I'm 17 and I've been going to protests and rallies around the same topic of police brutality since I was 12 and 13. So all of my teen years have basically been spent worrying about if, when I'm out in the city, if I'm making myself look like a threat to the people that are supposed to be protecting me, or just thinking about unnecessary things that I shouldn't have to think about in my day-to-day life, like, oh, am I walking correctly down the street? I should take my hood down. I don't want to be mistaken for the wrong person. It's just like, this is our reality, and it's so depressing because it's like, we should not have to be worrying about our livelihoods and our family's livelihoods being robbed from us and taken away from us by the people who took an oath to protect and serve. It just really hurts because going through the years of going to these protests, I've stood by fellow minorities and they stood by me, and now it's just like, this behavior is so deeply engraved in our police system that it is poisoning us. Like, it's infecting all of us. It's becoming like self-hate towards one another, and it's just, it's sad, it really is. And something needs to change. So like everybody has been saying, and like I will say again, please continue to come, please continue to speak. Even if you're not a minority, please continue to speak, because our allies matter. Allies really do matter. When you show you care, it matters. And yeah, that's what I have to say.
I just want to end on a note of community. There are people that we love that took the oath to serve and protect us. And in our small communities, we know that that's something that they take very seriously. My call to action for those folks is, your colleagues need to join you in these moments. I love you deeply. Where are your colleagues that had the same morals as you? Why are they not outraged enough to join you here? That is the wall of distrust that exists that we want to break down. It's not you, it's all of you. It's everybody that has taken that oath. We want to see you. We deserve to see you angry if you care about us the way that you say you do.
Again, February 15th. At 47 Fifth Street at 5:30 p.m. we'll be meeting, having a town hall around ending no-knock warrants in the city of Hudson. And we'll continue to reform our system as much as we can. We'll continue to reform our system as much as we can. And we are here for anyone. We got your information down. We'll also be reaching out to you to see how we can continue to build together.
Hi, sorry, I wasn't planning to speak, but I hear you, and it's important that everyone here stand in solidarity in this moment. You know, I've spent much of the weekend watching videos of life, right? Watching videos of skateboarding and making sure that the memory of this incredibly bright star lives on and not in the fear and the ugliness and the terror that is the video that is obviously circulating now. And I think we have a responsibility while we see what is happening across the country. You know, here, especially in the Hudson Valley, we have an opportunity to lead. With the work that's being done here in Hudson, there's incredible work being done also in Ulster County. And those are the programs and the work that we need to fund, making sure that we have better mental health services that are the ones that are actually on the front lines, making sure that when you do call, if someone does call 911 for something, it's mental health services that are responding, that have backup appropriately as they need, but making sure that people are receiving the care that they need, because this isn't the world that any of us want to live in. This is not the world that anyone deserves to live in. Everyone needs to feel safe. They need to feel respected. They need to feel heard. And we have a lot more to do to stand together to make sure that we're actually living up to the values and the ideals that we know to be true. And so I thank you for opening this space. I thank you for hosting this and everyone coming together. Hopefully we won't have another one, but as we continue to raise the voices of our community, more and more people will come and lend their voice to that, because it is a movement, it's not a moment, and we have to make sure that it echoes across and reverberates across every corner, because that's the way that you make foundational lasting change. So thank you, and thank you all.
That was State Senator Michelle Hinchey. On Saturday, January 28th, the indie rock band Tsunami got back together for the first time in many years and performed at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC had a live webcast and live broadcast, and here is an excerpt of the show.